Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Amen. But I like the King James Version, so I'm going to read that. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in this ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?' And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, 'Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, 'What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" In verse 36, it says, "even as he was." The ship on which Jesus had been sitting during the day was the same ship that he had ordered to be waiting for him. If you go to Mark 3 and 9, it says, "And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him." So Jesus was on this same ship that he ordered. So if he's on the ship that he ordered and he already knew what was going to happen, he knew that he wanted a small ship. Amen? This is all by his design. So the ship that he was on, he said, "Get me that one." And then the scripture says, "other little ships." Mark mentions that the presence of other little ships to show that there were other witnesses of the storm and its miraculous cessation. If it was only the ship that Jesus was on and it was only the disciples, people might have questioned it. And Mark further states that Mark gets into some little details that Matthew doesn't get into when he talks about this particular situation. He says he was asleep on a pillow, in the back, on a pillow, in the hinder part of the ship. So while all of this stuff was going on, he was asleep in the back part of the ship. Now, I don't know if you've ever really been on a ship. If you're in the front or you're in the back and there's waves going and there's a storm, you are going up and down. You feel everything that's going on. It's not like you're in the middle. You're in the front or you're in the back, and that part is going way up or coming way down. So Jesus knew what was going on. And they said, "Careth thou not?" We say it like, "You don't really care." They said, "Careth thou not?" So when you put what Matthew said and what Mark says, it sounds like this. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, save us because we are perishing. So the disciples are saying that to him, but they forget that Jesus was in the ship too. Have you ever been in a situation that somebody is telling you that they're in serious trouble, but you're sitting right there and you're in the same trouble too? Jesus was sitting there in the same, quote unquote, trouble. He says, O ye of little faith. Now Jesus gets up and he rebuked the wind and the wave, and it says, they marveled. When somebody marveled at something that you've done, they didn't believe that you could do it. They were surprised that you could do it. So when the scripture says that they marveled, it says it was evident of their weak faith. So they really didn't understand who they were riding in that boat with. The NIV version says they were terrified. Now, when you look at the way the Greek word that they used, they were terrified, it is the same word that they used when they talked about Jonah in verses 1 and 10. When they say Jonah and the men in that boat was exceedingly afraid. In either such example, the disciples did not have the faith of deliverance. I said the faith of deliverance. They had faith of other miracles because they had seen it, but they did not have the faith of deliverance. They didn't understand who Jesus really was, because the last part of the verse that I read, it says they were filled with awe. Now, there's a song called Awesome God, and it says when he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is awesome God. There is thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. In this case, the disciples' fear came from not understanding that somehow the divine was in there as their teacher. This whole story reassures all of us that we have already experienced popular abuse and other things, but we have to always know that Jesus, our divine, is always around us. Amen? Although Jesus doesn't always appear to be present or care, he will deliver his people in times of trouble. Therefore, the disciples and we should never doubt God. So let me just break this down. You see, Jesus is tired from the stress and the strain of preaching to the multitudes. He was so tired, he wanted to take himself a nap. So he goes down, he goes to sleep, and this storm comes. And the storm is so great, and when the disciples feel that all hope is gone, that's when they go and call Jesus. After he does what he does, which he does best, is do a miracle, amen, they want to know, what manner of man is this? So my theme and my scripture and what I'm preaching on today is, what manner of man is this? Now, I don't know if you ever really thought about Christ in that way, but think of him and all the things that he does. What manner of man is this? When you look at the language of what manner, it is a compound noun. In other words, it's two words that's put together, and when they're put together, they don't mean what they mean individually. What means something different. Manner means something different. But when you put the compound noun together, what manner of man, what manner, it means it's something that is unusual. So what manner is something is unknown, something that we don't understand. So when they say, what manner of man is this? They were indicating they really didn't understand who Jesus was. It wasn't what kind of man is this. It's what manner of man is this. Now, Jesus was always surrounded by controversy. So even though he just did this miracle, he's still surrounded by controversy. Because they don't understand, and they don't understand who is in the boat with them. In your life, you've gone through some things. I know that I have, and I know that many of you will. And you will ask some certain questions, like, what manner of stuff is this going on here? Amen? And that's exactly where the disciples was. Now, I want you to know that Jesus Christ, if you know him, he will never cease to amaze you. Because when he pulls you through, you don't have to say, what manner of man is this? You have to say, I know that Jesus did this for me. But today, what I'd like to do this morning is shed a little light on something about this manner of a man called Jesus. You see, Jesus proved in this particular situation that he is a stiller of the storm. Regardless of the source of the storm, he is the stiller of the storm. You see, storms tend to come in our lives in many ways. Some of the storms that we go through are satanic in origin. Some are physical. Some are emotional. Some are financial. And there's thousands of other storms that we go through. Yet, regardless of the source of the storm, there is always one who can still say, peace, be still. So Jesus is still the stiller of the storms in your life, regardless of the source. In Isaiah 43 and 2, it reassures us. It says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. I am God, and there is nobody else. So when you understand this, you understand the type of manner our God is. He is God regardless of the force of the storms in your life. Amen? Sometimes, you know, the other day in the Bible, they used that word when they talked about the storm, a squall. Do you know we had a squall the other day? We had a squall the other day. All of a sudden, there was a great storm. And it only lasted for a few minutes. But if you were caught in the middle of it, you were terrified. You were saying, Lord, get me out of here. It was snowing. It was blowing. The wind, it was a squall. Amen? So you can imagine the squall that the disciples was in the water. It was a little boat, but there was 12 disciples. If it's little, I'm pretty sure they might not have had life preservers. It was just enough for them, not realizing that the only life preserver they had was in the boat, the only one they needed, Jesus Christ. Sometimes the storms of life are mild, and other times they nearly rip our life apart. But regardless of the intensity of the storm that we are forced to face, let me remind you of a couple of things. You'll never be in that storm alone. You know, we get in storms and we think that we are alone. Somebody say amen. But the Bible tells me in Hebrews that he will never leave me nor forsake me. The other thing is that we have a God who's greater than anything that we'll ever face. And he will be our helper in the day of the howling storm or just the stiff breeze. Hebrews 6 says, 13 and 6 says, so that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Have you ever been in a situation that somebody threatened you? You can say, if you are a child of God, you could try to do to me what you want to do, because the Lord is my helper, and I don't fear what you're going to try to do to me. Here is God's plan for handling the storms of life. He says, be careful for nothing. Can you say that? Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Because something's going to come, but you got to be afraid of nothing. Because he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, be made known unto God. No matter what it is that you're going through, don't fear anything. With prayer and supplication, let your request be made known. Give it thanksgiving. Let it be known. Thank God in advance for taking care of you. Thank him in advance for making you an overcomer. Thank him in advance for taking you through the storm. Because the scripture said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Not through yourself, but through Jesus Christ. It has to be through Christ, because he's going through everything already. And he went through everything with peace. And even though at the time that he had the cup in his hand, take this cup, he was at peace with everything. He never shuddered. He never trembled. He never feared anything that he was going to go through. We go through storms in life and we fear. We fear the unknown. And even some illnesses and sicknesses that we have, we fear it because we don't know where it's going to lead us to. But we don't have to fear the unknown. If I said the word cancer to you, people would fear it. When you go to the doctor and he says, well, I hate to tell you that you have some cancer, you're going to have a certain amount of fear. And I'm not mad at you, and Jesus ain't mad at you. But he says, in everything through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known. He's saying at that point, when you hear that, give it to him. You can't handle it, give it to him. If you give it up, this is what's going to happen. The peace of God, which passes everybody's understanding. Have you ever seen somebody, they get some, what we say is bad news, and they sit there that, like they don't have a care in the world? That's because they know they have an advocate called Jesus Christ. And when you pass something on to him, you don't need to be in the midst of it. You're just going to mess it up. You're just going to give the enemy food to feed other people. But when you give it to God, give it to God 100%. We say in our giving ourselves to God and our coming to God, getting saved, that 99 and a half won't do. When you have illnesses, you give it to God, 99 and a half won't do. Give it to him and let go. He is the stiller of the storm, regardless of the course. No matter how the outcome of the storm may be, regardless of what lies in the path of the storm, God is still going to use it in your life for his glory and your good. You see, you might be in a storm right now, but I can assure you that Jesus knows exactly where you are. Have you ever been in a storm and you're so confused and somebody talks to you and they say, how are you doing? And you say, well, I just don't know. I'm confused. But wherever you are in the storm, Jesus knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what it is that you're facing. He is already walking on the water towards you. He is already telling whatever the situation is, peace, be still. He may already be in the boat with you, and you don't even know it. But just keep this in mind. Just because the storm is raging all about and around you, it doesn't mean that he doesn't care. He's saying, just take it easy. I got this. I got this. Don't be afraid. Look to him. The Bible tells us in Psalms 91 that Jesus is our shelter. He is our refuge and our fortress. Amen? In verse 4, it says, he will hide me in the shelter of his wings. Just as a mother hen will hide her little chicks under her wings to protect and shelter them, it is the same with Jesus. They have all of these, I don't even know what you call them now, these ducks or these geese or whatever. You ever see these geese walking across the road? The mother come right in the middle of the road and stand right there, and all the little geese just keep going. You can have your car, you're going to stop your car. And that mother geese ain't going to move until everybody's gone by. And after they're gone by, they turn around and waddle, and they go on too. Jesus is like that mother hen, that mother goose, that mother geese. He will block things and wait until we pass it through all dangers. He won't move. He won't do anything. And Satan has to stop. There's a song by Paul Morton. He sings it. He says, when I say the name Jesus, something happens. When you're in the midst of going through something, if you just say the name Jesus, something is going to happen. You might be here and you might say to me, you don't know what my storm is. And you know what? You're right. It's not my job to know what your storm is. My job is to tell you the stiller of your storm. You see, whatever it is that you're going through, you can hide in that shelter. He will strengthen you. He will make you stronger. And the reason why he wants to make you stronger is because you still got a fight to do. You still got an enemy to defeat. Amen? He will strengthen you. He will make you stronger. The psalmist says, he is my refuge. That don't mean that he's going to be your refuge later. He's your refuge right now. He is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Whenever you're feeling weak, he's always there. When you feel like you can't take it anymore, he's always there. When you feel that you need to run to the shelter, he's always there. He will strengthen you and he will help you get back. You might say, preacher, you don't know where my storm is coming from. And you're right. That storm could be coming from your finances, from your relationship, from your job, wherever it's coming from. I don't need to know. But I know the one that can tell the storm to go back where it came from. Wherever that storm might be today, wherever it might be coming from, he's trying to get on the boat with you. So you need to stop trying to float your own boat. The world will tell you, you need to float your boat. No, we need Jesus to float our boat. The problem is too many times we try to carry a burden by ourselves. When we try to manage, that's when we realize that the load that we're trying to carry is too much for us. I don't know if you ever tried to pick something up and know that you can't take it, but you're going to try to do it anyway. What happens? You fall on your face. You hurt yourself. You skin your knee. And if you're holding something in your hand, you lose it because you broke it. Because you couldn't hold on to that and touch your hurt. But when you let it go to Jesus, he'll carry that. Amen? Maybe you're here today and you have a physical need. I want you to know that he's able. Maybe you're facing a spiritual need. He's able. It is possible today that you're here today and you don't know the manner of what this man is. But you can have and you can know who he is today. You can leave here today knowing the manner of the person of Jesus Christ. You see, your greatest need and my greatest need today is that we need a captain. We need a savior. We need somebody to turn the ship. Somebody to guide us. Somebody to take control. Somebody who can set the sail for the destination that he wants us to go in. I know the man who can do that. And he can come to you today. I know the manner of this man. He is a supplying man. And he wants to long to right your ship today. But only if you allow him. What manner of man is this? Let me tell you who he is. He is Jehovah, the Lord Jireh, my provider. He is the Lord Rophi, my healer. He is Jehovah, the Lord Nisi, my banner. He is the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord Shalom. He is my peace. He is Jehovah, the Lord Roy, my shepherd. He is the Jehovah, the Lord you know, my righteousness. But those are all the things he is. That is the manner of this man. So today, if you don't have nothing, Jehovah Jireh, your provider, can become yours today. If you're hurting today, Jehovah Rophi, your healer, can come and heal you today. That is the manner of this man. If you don't have somebody to go before you, just like in the olden days, there was a soldier that had the banner that walked before the army. He is Jehovah, the banner carrier, to carry it for you today. If you don't have any peace today, he can be Jehovah Shalom. He can give you the peace beyond all understanding. If you don't have somebody to guide you, he is Jehovah Roy, my shepherd. He can be your righteousness today. That is the manner of the man of Jesus Christ. So the disciples, when they were on the boat, they didn't understand all of that. All the things, the miracles they had witnessed him do. They were ignorant to the spiritual side. Even though they saw the physical side, they didn't correlate one to another. I'm asking you today, when you look over your life, and all that you've been through, are you still looking at the physical side and ignoring the spiritual side? That it was Jehovah, my Lord. Jehovah, your Lord. That was the stiller of all the storms and every piece of trouble that you had in your life. Do you realize that today? If you don't realize that, then every time you come into a storm, you're saying, Jesus, take me through this one. But if you realize the spiritual side of it, it's like, Lord, I can't. But I know you can. And I'm praising you in advance. And I thank you. Because you're going to do it for me. See, when you're on that side, you know the manner of the man and the person of Jesus Christ. And when you know that, then you can worship him. Not for what he is, but for who he is. Because when you realize who he is, all of those things, the manner that man can do for you. Our best words, our vocabulary, the adjectives that we use to describe him and his glory, they're just not good enough. They're not good enough. The best that we could do is use the voice of the Shulamite woman in the Song of Solomon that declared, he is altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely. If you never knew what lovely is, Jesus Christ is lovely. He cares when you don't care. He does things when you don't want him to do things. He watches you when you're not even watching yourself. He is altogether lovely. His love is unconditional. You don't have to pay him back. You don't have to, you know, no matter what it is that you do, not, you ignore him, and he loves you anyway. You know, I used to look at a little cartoon on TV called Crazy Cat. And it was a little cat, it was a cat and a little mouse. Crazy Cat and Ignat. No matter what Ignat did, throw bricks at Crazy Cat, do dirty things to Crazy Cat, Crazy Cat always loved Ignat. To her, it was always a sign of love. Oh, Ignat. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is not Crazy Cat, but he has that kind of love for us that no matter what you do, all the bricks that you threw, all the lies that you tell, all the disobedience that you do, he still loves you. He still loves you. That is the manner of the man called Jesus Christ. That is the manner of the man that died on that cross. You know what I'd like for you to do? If you've never been on that pulpit and you've never went up there and looked at that cross and you've never looked at that crown of thorns, if you've never done that, I invite you today to go there. Take a look. Take a look. Visualize what he went through. Look at them thorns. Visualize somebody placing it on your head and pushing it down. Visualize your blood coming down from your head. Visualize somebody nailing you to that cross. Oh, hallelujah. Visualize that if you can. Take a moment and just meditate on it. And then realize that he did it. He did it for you. He did it for you. did it for you. Let us stand this morning. My spirit sets forth the issue. So I'd like for you to just make a line right here. Hallelujah. Make a line right here. Come on, don't be disobedient. If you can walk, make a line. Get the oil. Get the oil. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go take a look. Hallelujah. And then you come down, you need prayer. We're ready to pray with you. Take a look. Hallelujah. Take a second and visualize. Hallelujah. Just for you. Look at the thorns.